It's time for another Barn Takeover.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to rock and roll. Get into it on this Thursday. I'm excited about this. We did it last week, and it was a ton of fun. It's time for a barn takeover. We have our message board, thebarnauburn.com. I want to get those guys involved in the show a lot more, so we opened up the mailbag on the board yesterday, and it got filled with a bunch of really good questions. I picked out some of the best ones for conversation. And honestly, some of these you could make a whole show about, and we may actually do that eventually. So it's going to be a lot of fun. It's a way I want to get you guys in the show, get you guys involved. And if you want to get involved as well, obviously you can always check out thebarnauburn.com. That $1 for the first month for just a little bit longer. So check it out. Before we get started, before we dive into those, we got to give a shout out to mybookie.ag. Use coupon code NEXTROUND for a double up deposit bonus. Give them $200. They're going to give you another $200 back on top of it just by using that coupon code on your first deposit. Hit the whole sports book. They got lines for absolutely everything. Football, playoff baseball, basketball's coming up too, college and NBA. So a lot of stuff you can get in on. Tons of fun. Check them out, mybookie.ag. So let's don't waste any time. Let's just go ahead and dive into the questions. These are all members of thebarnauburn.com. These are their ideas, and we're going to break down every single one, as many as we can. First question from Brian Beatty, and this is a seasoned Auburn fan right here. You don't worry about the coaches. You don't worry about players. This is the question you got to be asking when times are tough. So Brian Beatty, what is the general feeling in the athletic department and with big donors? Are they frustrated with his results and losing patience, or are they still fully bought in? So let's talk about the first part, general feeling in the athletic department and big donors. Obviously, I think on the athletic department part, I think you have full support from John Cohen. He's made it clear multiple times, full support. We're building this thing the right way. We're getting a lot of young guys playing time. He's mentioned it several times at different speaking engagements. Fully bought in there from the athletic department. Big donors. This goes into the second part of the question. Are they frustrated with the results and losing patience, or are they still fully bought in? I don't think they're losing patience. Obviously, everybody's frustrated with the results, but are they still fully bought in? I still think the alignment from the money side of things is more aligned than it's ever been. I think you're going to have a record-breaking donation, not donation. You can't call it donations, but record-breaking revenue from On to Victory this season. And part of that's due to the alignment. Part of that's due to the direction that you're seeing in recruiting. I mean, look at the commits you've had. You don't think you've had to go a little bit extra? You don't think you've had to those NIL numbers have gone up a little bit to A, retain commits, and B, get new ones like Deuce Knight? Like what made you finally push him over the edge? That has to come from somewhere. So I think that everybody's frustrated. You know, especially donors. Everybody's a little bit frustrated. Probably expected it a little bit results a little bit quicker. But at the same token, you see that Auburn is gaining more yards per game and giving up less yards per game. And you're giving up less yards per game with a lot of these young freshmen that you brought in from last year. And you're gaining a lot more yards per game with this offense, and that's playing some young guys as well too. So I think, again, everybody's frustrated, but I don't sense any tension yet. I don't sense any tension. Now, what happens this offseason? Is there another issue at getting a quarterback, whether it be from the portal, whatever it is there another issue there You feel like, you know, all the talk is Auburn's prime to go be big game hunting in the portal, but who's there? And then if you get them, do they flop? Like, do they flop, or do they not develop? Do they put you in a bind again? I think that would be where you start to see some frustration build. But currently, I don't think I think that everybody's upset with the start to the season. But I don't think anybody's ready to jump ship and start trying to put their hands in the cookie jar like typically Auburn fans would expect. Great question, though. We could do a whole show on that one. CND01, one of the very first members, also a very good friend of mine. Which true freshman will develop into an impact player next season? Now, I'm not going to take the cheat code route and just say Cam Coleman, Malcolm Simmons. You know, that's easy. Guys that are playing a lot, that's easy. So I'll try to dig a little bit deeper and look at the way depth charts are going to play out next year. And then who I'm hearing is, you know, performing really well in practice. I think the first one on the defensive side of the ball is going to be Amaris Williams. You lose a ton on the defensive line. Okay. You lose a ton. And then you're basically your big returning guys that are going to have a lot of snaps are Keldrick Falk and Malik Blockton. And then you got that. What do you do with those guys? Are they both, can you move both of those guys on the interior? And then, what happens with that third defensive lineman? Do you have to bring in more portal guys? Regardless, Amaris Williams is getting some snaps now, but next year he's a freak athlete and he's going to be, you know, get bigger and stronger. I think Keldrick has the ability to be able to slide inside. So if you slide him inside, can you put Amaris in his spot? And then you have a really freaky three. Those are three freaky dudes that you can build around. So I think I'm going to go with Amaris Williams on defense. And then I'm going to go with DeAndre Carter on offense. I've heard a lot of really, really, really good things about him in practice that honestly, if it weren't for conditioning and just your general strength at the SEC level, this guy would already be pushing for playing time. Like he's that good. He's that talented as an offensive lineman that early. So you look at the depth chart for next year. Jeremiah Wright probably has a chance to come back again. Not probably. He has the chance to come back again. He's a redshirt junior. I guess in theory, he could test the NFL waters, but I think it would be wise for him to come back one more year because he's having a great year, and it's the first full year that he's been really healthy. If he can stack two of those on top of each other and kind of continue the role that he's had this year and continue to develop, he's got a chance to play his way into probably that back half of the draft as a guard. I mean, he is a really, really good player. He's probably Auburn's most steady. He's definitely one of Auburn's better run-blocking offensive linemen. I think he could be one of Auburn's better offensive linemen next year. But you got Dylan Wade that you lose. Percy Lewis, which is a tackle, but because he's a tackle, that's why Dylan Wade went to guard. But you lose that left side of the line, but you have a bunch of young guys like Braden Joyner that's got some snaps. You've got guys like EJ Harris. You've got guys like Dylan Senda. Those dudes that have played, you know, time at guard. But I think for the most part, one of those guard spots is going to be sort of open competition. And DeAndre Carter, you know, four-year starter at Matter Day High School, which is unheard of, one of the biggest, better high schools in the country. He's gifted. He's skilled at offensive line. It's just mostly about him getting his body ready to play college football, playing the SEC. And I think if he's doing that, which it sounds like he is, if he's doing that next year, he could be a force to be reckoned with, and he could, you know, take over early as a redshirt freshman on that offensive line, and you got a solid dude for two or three years that could play there. I think he's definitely one to watch for as somebody that could step up and be a big impact next season that you haven't really heard about. Let's see here. Let's go to the next one. Bo Nix is him. I like that name. Do the guys in the locker room see that we aren't far off? Georgia game felt different. We weren't blown out. in any way. I know there's some Auburn fans that this question would infuriate because it seems to insinuate that we're just okay with where we are and we should want to win. But it's honestly a rational question, especially the last half of it. When you're building a program, there's steps that you got to take. You're not just going to go 0 to 100. You got to take steps and sort of work your way to getting back better. And you're correct. The Georgia game did feel different. A lot of these games feel different. You're just not quite getting over the edge. So do the guys in the locker room feel that as well? Or do they feel like, you know, it's a lost cause and you're a long way off? Well, Eugene Asante did an interview, oddly enough, funny enough. He did an interview a couple days ago. And this is what he had to say. He said that I think the season could flip really quick. I do believe if we get one win, that will build the momentum and spark within this team. And this team really does need it in this moment. Does that sound like someone that thinks there's no hope, or you're there's no chance that you're that close? I think clearly this is what I've been saying as well, is I feel like all you need is one win to just kind of get over the hump, and then it can snowball from there. And if you're not that close, then you don't have those feelings. If you're not that close and you're just like, man, I'm just ready for the season to get over. Let's start working on next year. But no, I think they do feel like, man, we're just right there. Somebody's got to step up. Somebody's got to make a play. And obviously hoping that that's this year. But yeah, I definitely sense that the team feels like you're right there. And that quote is just an example of that. It's tough because you can see it. You can see it. Now, there are some, you know, metrics you can probably find where Auburn is performing worse than last year. But to me, am I moving the ball better on offense, and am I slowing the defense down better? In both of those categories, Auburn is better than they were last year. And to me, we can go through all the other stuff if you want to, but at the end of the day, that's really all that matters. Are you moving it better, and are you stopping them better? And I think we're doing better on both. You're just not quite punching through. You're making some crucial mistakes at times. You're not quite punching through. So all it takes is just one. I think I really believe that. And obviously Eugene Asante does too. Before we get to the next little round of questions, we obviously got to give a shout out to our boy Ford Stokes with Active Wealth Management. Look, I don't know what y'all are doing if you're not, you know, verifying, double checking, triple checking your retirement, your savings, especially when, you know, the economy is what it is, inflation is what it is. Do you have that number that you have in mind? Is it even going to be enough? Ford Stokes can give you all those. He can run all those scenarios for you. He'll do it for you absolutely free. That's a $1,500 plus value. You can go to retirementresults.com/plan and get that free custom portfolio analysis. You can make a great friend at the same time. Tell him War Eagle, tell him I sent you, Ford Stokes with Active Wealth Management. So let's dive back into the questions. There's some really good ones coming up. This one's a really good one. This was actually a talking point in the press conference. Crushing Some Chicken Parm. He made it last show. Love the name. Back. That's a Locked On Auburn meme gold right there. Missouri, D.C., Corey Batoon has a long history working around Hugh Freeze. Who do you think that benefits more, if either at all? Great question. So Corey Batoon, he was with Hugh at Arkansas State for 2 years, I believe, Ole Miss for 5, and then Liberty for 1. So 8 years out of his coaching career, he's been with Hugh Freeze. Never once of those 8 years, though, was he a defensive coordinator. But obviously, all of the offenses were Hugh's offense. So Hugh doesn't really have the luxury of knowing what type of defense, what type of tendencies Corey Batoon has on defense, because this is only his first year as a defensive coordinator. But Corey has all those years of knowing terminology, knowing tendencies, knowing, you know, any little bits and pieces of information of Hugh's offense. Corey has a lot more knowledge of how that offense works because offense works because he watched it every single day. Whereas Hugh hasn't had a chance to watch a Corey Batoon defense other than, you know, the few games that he's watched on film this year. So obviously in this particular scenario, it definitely benefits Corey. Now, looking at the numbers, this is sort of outside of the box of the question. If you look at the numbers versus conference opponents, the numbers have not been that great for Missouri. They're towards the bottom on yards per game given up. They're definitely way towards the bottom on rushing yards per game given up. And I think both of those things benefit Auburn big time. So from the scenario of the question, I think that it definitely benefits Corey. But I'm just not sure that I like the matchup, actually, based off of the conference performances of Auburn's offense versus Missouri's defense. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in the Know the Enemy on Saturday morning before the game. It's going to be an early one, so you got to listen to it quickly right before kickoff. Let's see here. This is a good one. Tiger Fan 77. It may be too early to tell, but do you get the sense that Hugh is 100% happy with his staff this year? Okay. Hugh wears his heart on his sleeve. Okay. And there were times last year where you could tell by some of the things he would say in his press conference. For example, I wish we would have ran more RPOs. I wish we would have done this. I wish we would have done that. A lot of times seemingly calling out the offensive coordinator, Philip Montgomery. I don't catch a lot of that this year. Like, I don't catch a lot of that. We're missing this on the offensive line. We're missing this in the wide receiver room. He's just completely loved on DJ Durkin, and understandably so, and Charles Kelly and all those guys on defense. So I'm trying to go through and really find who, if he's made any comments, made any remarks that makes me think he's not happy with a certain coach or the certain position group. And I'm honestly having a hard time finding it. A lot of the more criticism is on himself. Now, the communication issues, you go back to the 4th-and-1 play. Did Peyton talk to an assistant? Did he not? Did the assistant communicate it to Hugh? Did it all get installed? Who makes the call? Like, there's definitely some communication things there that need to be shored up. But I don't know 100% who that's on. And Hugh hasn't made it feel like it's all on, you know, he hasn't said things to make me think that it's all on the assistants, or he's kind of put it all on himself. So now I can't sense that he's unhappy with staff, but I do wonder if, you do have a big offensive line class. Is there any kind of shakeup you can do there to take, I don't know, maybe get a little bit more development, a little bit better. I don't know. I really don't know if you can make a change there and upgrade anything. Wide receiver coach, you just had the best, class you've had ever, basically, and you have a transfer coming in, and he's coached the right way. He's coached up, and he's, you know, on track to go over 1,000 yards. I don't know if you do anything at wide receivers. If there's anything, maybe there's something you could do if there's a little bit of disconnect. You've had some issues at quarterback the last couple of years, I guess both years that you've been here. Is there anything you do with Ken Austin? He's a longtime assistant. I don't know if you move him I don't know if you move him off the field and you bring in someone new. I really don't know, but I don't really get the sense there's a lot of urgency there to shake up the staff because, again, you're gaining more yards than last year. You're just making some crucial mistakes at times. I haven't caught a read yet. I can't tell if he's unhappy at all, really, with the offensive staff, other than he's just unhappy overall with the performance. This is a really good question right here. How many carries do you see every game? All right. How many carries do you think we see every game the rest of the year from, I think he's talking about Jarquez Hunter. If it's under that number, do you start looking at Hugh Freeze and asking some real questions about his offensive philosophy. This has been a huge talking point. Jarquez needs more carries. Jarquez needs more this. Jarquez needs more that. If Jarquez doesn't get 20 carries a game, should we fire everybody? I mean, basically, that's a lot of the discussion. And it's understandable because he's having such a good year. He's averaging so many yards per carry. But you look at the box score, and he's got like 13 carries against Georgia, 13 carries, I think, against Arkansas. And you're like, man, what's the deal? You know, just that looks like he's not touching the ball a ton. So I really wanted to dive into that, and I'm probably going to do a whole big show on it. So to really go into it, maybe tomorrow. So look, if you look at Auburn's total plays, Auburn from a total play standpoint is towards the bottom of the SEC. And that could be a number of things. It could be pace of play, with the clock running. Is Auburn getting the snaps off early? Are they getting the snaps off later? Are they running more tempo? Are they running more? Are they running slower? It could be, Auburn's one of the top countries in explosive plays. Are they shortening drives with explosive plays? And then obviously you have some of the games that have the turnovers where your time of possession is all out of whack. So total plays for Auburn is down big time. If you look at the total plays in the SEC, Auburn's towards the bottom as far as total offensive plays. So in turn, your total carries in that number is going to be down. So when I look at just a blanket term of total carries, I want to look at it actually in proportion with how many offensive plays you're actually running. And if you look at all of the top running backs in the conference, outside of Tennessee, who their running back gets, you know, close to 35% of touches he gets 35% of the plays goes directly to him, that typically it hovers around 20 to 22%. You can go back and check me if you want to. I looked at it right before the show. And Jarquez is right there. If you look total over the season and total in conference, he's right there around that 21 to 22%, which is right around the average in the conference. So now, to answer the question, I would like to see that percentage. I don't know if I want to see that necessary percentage go way up, but what I want to see is more situational Jarquez. You know, goal line, I want to see more Jarquez. Third and short, I want to see more Jarquez. So am I saying I want to see Jarquez get 20 carries a game? I want to see him get 20 carries a game if we're averaging, you know, if we're somewhere around 70 or 80 plays. Like that means that's a really good game. We're running the football well and things like that. But if we're not controlling the ball or we're scoring quickly, I don't really care about the total carries. I want him to have a good percentage of the plays, and then I want him to be a little bit more situational focused. Okay, so I don't know if that completely answers your question, and I want to dive into this a lot deeper, but again, I don't know that I necessarily want to see the carries number just across the board, the carries just go up, because I don't know that that necessarily means anything, but I want to see more situational Jarquez. And I want him to maintain that healthy 20%+ of the touches. And you got to think, when you're talking about touches, you're talking about that's just rushes. Like, I want to see him, you know, obviously get involved in the passing game, but you still got to get the other playmakers balls, and you still got to get, and then obviously Peyton's going to have to scramble some, because the offensive line is just, you know, they're hit or miss sometimes. So again, I hope that answers your question on the short end, but I think we're going to go deeper here really soon on this. I kind of want to see how this game plays out this weekend, because I feel like that load could go up a little bit. Great question, though. Three more, and then we're done. Over front. This is also an Auburn meme, Locked On Auburn meme name from all the way back into the epic Jake Crane debate. Over front, this is a fun question. Which defensive player would be the most intriguing to switch to offense and vice versa? Let's start on defense. If I took a defensive player and moved an offensive player, what would be the most intriguing? I'm going to stick with the Amaris Williams theme and put him at running back, because he played running back in high school, and he's a super incredible athlete. And 6'3", 270, 280 would be kind of fun to watch coming downhill. I think that would be a fun one to watch. And then from offense to defense, I think Perry Thompson, there was a lot of talk about him. You know, he played safety in high school, and he's a really good safety. I think that would be a fun one to watch too, because just imagine 6'3", 220 with 4.4 speed lurking in the defensive backfield. I think that would be another one that would be really intriguing to watch that switch. So that's my answer on there. That's kind of a fun question. This is a really good question. Brett Moran, what have you heard about Omar Mabson and AU? If you don't know who that is, that's the 2026 Auburn High School running back who's having an incredible season. He is there. Auburn High School is having a really good year. Omar Mabson's a big part of it. He's a smaller guy, 5'9", 200 pounds, super, super fast. And he's just been a beast this year. I'm trying to pull up his stats on Max Preps. He is right now over 1,000 yards rushing, averaging about 8 yards a carry in 7A football. And he's doing it against everybody. He even against Central, he had a tough game, but 17 carries for 77 yards, averaging 4.5 yards a carry, 16 total touchdowns. And he's also, you know, a really good receiving threat. He's got 3 touchdowns receiving. I think he's going to be a priority. He's going to be a big priority for Auburn. Auburn obviously may only take one high school running back this year. They're going to keep trying for a couple of guys to see if they can flip. They're not going to stop recruiting Usman Chroma and Shekhi Mills Knight, but both of those guys are obviously committed elsewhere. If they can flip one, great. If they can't, they're going to go to the portal. And then, you know, they're going to need to obviously take a back in the 2026 class. And I could see this guy being, he maybe could be your feature back for 2026. He's been to Auburn, obviously, several times. He's right here in town. I think he's definitely going to be a focus. And Auburn sits in a good spot with him. I think that he may already be in some, you know, he may have already been having some initial chats with some local vendors around town as far as potential sponsorship. So we'll see, but he's definitely going to be a target. He's definitely going to be a priority. I don't think he's looking to make a decision anytime soon, but he's definitely going to be something, someone to watch for 2026 at running back. And the last one, this is a fun one to end on, maybe stir up some controversy, but Tanjiro Komodo. Okay. We haven't quite figured out. This is an intriguing guy on the board because I haven't quite figured out if he's an AI or not. But he's got some really good posts, really good intel, a lot of fun interacting with him. But here's his question: start one, bench one, cut one. Okay, Mama Goldberg's chicken salad chick, big blue bagel and deli. And this one's tough. And I actually thought about this one. Me and my wife talked about it. So here's what I'm going to say. Okay. And this may make some people mad. Okay. But I'm prepared. You know, you got to answer the tough questions, and you just got to take the heat wherever it comes from. So start one, I'm going with chicken salad chick. You give me that sassy Scotty or that jalapeno Holly on a cracker, on a sandwich, whatever. I'm going to take that all day long. The options, it's ready to go. You can get a pound of it and eat on it for a week. I love some chicken salad chick. Start chicken salad chick. This is where the tough one comes into play. Okay. Bench one, cut one. Okay. Now, big blue bagel. I'm not a huge breakfast guy. Okay. I'm not a huge bagel guy in general, but that Auburn Tiger Melt that they have is phenomenal. And hey, look, we're kind of in that chicken salad theme again. Turns out I'm a big chicken salad guy. But you know, you got the Auburn Tiger Melt, which is unbelievable. You can put it on a garlic parmesan bagel and just rock and roll, and it's phenomenal. Love the bagel chips they have there. That sandwich is so good, I can't cut it. That sandwich is so good, I got to keep it on the bench. I got to keep, even though that's the only thing that I get there, you got to keep that Auburn Tiger Melt on the bench ready when you got to make a play, when you got to call, when, you know, somebody gets injured, you got to bring in the key player off the bench. The Auburn Tiger Melt from Big Blue Deli, Big Blue Bagel and Deli is my is my number two on the bench. And then who do I cut? I got to go Mama Goldberg's. I mean, I love the atmosphere. It's great and all, but like it's deli sandwiches and Doritos. Okay. So, I mean, you can get that. If I got to pick between, I can't get all that. I can get that in a lot of places. I can't get the chicken salad chicken. I can't get the Auburn Tiger Melt in a lot of places. So I'm going to have to go start chicken salad chick, bench, Big Blue Bagel and Deli. And then I'm going to cut Mama Goldberg's. I'm sure that I'll be completely eviscerated over that take. So, but you know what? It's part of it. If you make the tough claims, you got to take the tough heat. So guys, I really appreciate it. If you want to be involved in this, I'd love to feature you in the show. Hey, come check us out at thebarnauburn.com. It's only $1 for a month for just a little while longer. And you can try it out. And then if you don't like it, hey, you're only out $1. If you do love it, it's $9.95 after that. A lot of great recruiting intel. Recruiting's slow right now, but we're digging hard. We're starting to work towards the 2026 class. And you're going to get some of the best team intel around. Not a lot of article, really not any articles, just total, just conversation. And a lot of just intel. That's what it is. Scoops everywhere you can get them. Basketball too. Basketball's firing up right around the corner. We got a really good basketball insider on the board, sharing a lot of roster breakdowns as well as recruiting stuff. So definitely the time to jump in. You can be featured in the show as well. Might make this into a weekly thing. So guys, I really appreciate it. If you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. You can follow me on Twitter on @_Charlie_5. And obviously, you know, we're going to be back every single day. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening and drive home safely.